Today, Christians are facing challenges in homeless ministry. In 2023, homelessness reached its highest level since reporting began in 2007, even affecting families with children, unaccompanied youth, and the elderly. Homeless ministries require long-term commitment and support, not quick fixes. Pastor Jim Yates advises taking manageable steps when building a homeless ministry. Read the full article, Compassion, It's a Messy Business, by me, Jordan Chambly, on thestand.net.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and it's a beautiful Tuesday morning here in Texarkana, Texas. I hope it's a beautiful morning where you are. As we all know, on January 20th, Donald Trump will be sworn into office. It's going to be an exciting day as we look to return to common sense and law and order, and also a renewed support for Israel. Now, it is a great joy for me to welcome to the program this morning a dear friend and a man that I greatly admire, Governor Mike Huckabee. Mike Huckabee has been a pastor. He's a prolific author. He was lieutenant governor of Arkansas and then the governor of Arkansas, the 44th governor of Arkansas, served from 1996 to 2007, presidential candidate, radio and television host, political commentator, and now, this new chapter of life, he has been tapped by Donald Trump to be the United States ambassador to Israel. Governor Mike, welcome to the program.
Jeff, it's great to be with you. Forgive my voice, a little scratchy. There's been a lot of travel lately, but I'm just delighted to be able to be with you, my friend.
Well, I appreciate it so much. Now, Mike, with all the things that you've done, I'm wondering, do I call you governor now or now you're ambassador?
Well, I'll be ambassador only if the U.S. Senate confirms me. I hope that happens. I'm anticipating that it'll go through. But you can just call me Mike. We've been friends a long time.
All right. So, Mike, I'm just curious. I have a lot of questions in my head. First of all, when you got tapped by Donald Trump, does he call you himself or one of his teammates call you? How does that work?
Well, he called me himself. And interesting backstory, normally if I get a call and the number is not one I recognize, I don't answer it. I figure it's important, they'll leave it on my voicemail. And if it's someone I know, they'll be in my contact list and I'll take it. Mm-hmm. That morning I was sitting there working at my desk. President Trump's number does come up as President Trump. That wasn't what came up. It was a number I did not recognize. And I hesitated. I thought, yeah, I'm not taking this. He's probably wanting to sell me an extended car warranty. But something told me, take this call. You know, you have these God winks in life. Mm-hmm. And I just had this sense, take the call. So I did. And it was President Trump. He said, I want you to go to Israel and be ambassador. And I was totally taken completely off guard because I had not talked to him about it, had not lobbied for the position. I knew there were some people who thought I should be the ambassador, and you know, but that's fine. People think I ought to be a lot of things. Some of them think I ought to be an inmate locked up for the rest of my life. And so, you know, you don't take all that so seriously. But he was just very quick to the point, as he is, and said, I want to ask you to be ambassador to Israel. And it was as simple as that. And Jeff, had he asked me to do anything else, I would have said no thanks. Here's the thing. I don't want to babysit some bloated federal bureaucracy. I wasn't interested in going to D.C. and being a cabinet secretary or some official in the federal government. I didn't want a federal paycheck. I really didn't. I've loved doing what I'm doing. I've never had more fun in my life. It's what I'm doing. It's been great. But deep down, I knew that this was not just the president calling. I really believed it was God calling. And as Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And that's really what happened.
Amen. That's great. Well, obviously, Donald Trump knows about your love for Israel. And Mike, you've been to Israel, good night, 100 plus times?
Probably so. I mean, I started going 52 years ago in 1973 when I was 17. I was a month away from my 18th birthday when I made my first trip there. So I've been going to Israel long enough to see this incredible nation grow and develop into a powerhouse. It was a sleepy little country that would have to fight off wars, wars they should not have won, but they did. Mm-hmm. But I've watched the desert bloom, and I've watched the dry bones come to life, as the prophet said. And I've seen this with my own eyes. So it's an incredible place. And the only explanation for what has happened in Israel over these years is that God has been involved.
Mm. That is so good. Okay, so we're commanded to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Psalm 122, verse 6. And you're, Lord willing, you're going to be confirmed and you're going to be living in Israel. And we know that they're still at war with Hamas. What's the latest on that conflict, Mike?
Well, there is a lot of hope and anticipation that some type of deal can be made that will let the hostages go. I think we're all praying for that. There's nothing more gut-wrenching than the thought of these hostages who have been held longer than the Iranians held American hostages back in 1979. People forget that. This has been a horrendous toll upon the Israeli people. So I'm optimistic, I'm hopeful, but at the same time, I'm always cautious, because when you're dealing with terrorist groups funded by Iran, you're not dealing with honest, decent, good people. You're dealing with savages, mm-hmm. people who don't keep their word, who do not hold to a promise, who do not believe in honor and integrity. They believe in murdering Jews and ultimately murdering Christians. And what I hope Americans understand is that the ultimate goal of the Iranians, the Iranian government, not the people, but the government, is not simply to annihilate Israel and kill every Jew. It's then to move on to America, who they consider the great Satan, and destroy all of us as well.
Mm-hmm. Mike, in as you deal with Jews who are not Messianic Jews, they're Old Testament Jews. Christians love Jews. Is that reciprocated in your experience with the Jews loving the Christians, or do they look at us with a jaded eye?
You know, back in the 80s, I can remember when there was a real animosity in Israel toward Christians, even those of us who visited regularly. That has changed 180 degrees. And now I find that overwhelmingly, Jews, particularly in Israel, are so grateful for the Christian support they get. Generally in America, for the most part, with observant Jews, very much so, the Orthodox and observant. Now, with secular Jews here in America, maybe not so much. But then again, you got to remember, a lot of the secular Jews in America, they're really not very pro-Israel either. Mm-hmm. So it's a mixed bag. But within Israel, there is an extraordinary appreciation and a great relationship between Christians, especially the evangelical Christians, and the Jewish population of Israel.
Mm. Now, Mike, what is... For our listeners, what does an ambassador do? What would a day in the life of the U.S. ambassador to Israel look like?
Well, the Israeli ambassador from the United States is a little different than some. In some countries, an ambassador is largely ceremonial. They make sure that there's a representation of our government in that country, meeting with officials, hosting various social events. In Israel, it's much more intense because of the strategic placement of Israel, our military affiliations, our intelligence affiliations, and the fact that there's a war going on. So it becomes a much more strategic role in dealing constantly with both the American and Israeli governments and working through issues of intelligence, military support, security, as well as overseeing the embassy and all that that entails. So I expect it's going to be all I can say grace over, and I urge people to pray for me as I go and pray that we will see the peace of Jerusalem, which if we do, we will see the peace of the world.
Amen. Now, Mike, how do the Israelis view Benjamin Netanyahu, especially with the attacks? I know they blamed him for that. What's his current pulse, you think?
You know, it's interesting because he's a polarizing figure. In many ways, he and Donald Trump have a lot of similarities in that there are people who love him, there are people who hate him. Both have also been attacked by the infrastructure of an insular government. And so Prime Minister Netanyahu, who's been a personal friend of mine for over 30 years, has been under constant attack from the court system. Again, the parallels to what Donald Trump has been through very similar. But there are many people, and I would say the majority in Israel, support the prime minister strongly. And since October the 7th, there were certainly those in the early days, that were upset with him, thought it was his fault. But as they've gone through this, they've more and more seen that his holding the line and even standing up to some pressure from the Biden administration has been incredibly helpful in securing Israel as a sovereign nation.
Now, I get the feeling you and I have a mutual friend in Pilar Blanco, who is a tour guide there. She loves you, talks about you often. They seem to love Donald Trump in Israel. Is that not right?
Without a doubt. I mean, Donald Trump, as president, did more for Israel than any president in history. You might even, wouldn't be far off to say more than all the others combined. Recognizing Jerusalem as the eternal indigenous, forever capital of the Jewish people, that was big. Moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, very big. Recognizing the Golan Heights as sovereign Israeli territory, big thing. Removing the nonsense of saying that it was criminal and illegal, violating international law for Israeli citizens to live in Judea and Samaria. There are a number of ways that President Trump did more for Israel and, quite frankly, more for the peace of the Middle East. Remember, we didn't have any wars going on when Trump was president. Mm-hmm. We had the Abraham Accords. We had diplomatic relations established between Israel and the UAE and Bahrain and countries that before had not been friendly. And we were on the cusp of moving that forward with Saudi Arabia and other nations, and probably will under this administration of President Trump. But when he was not reelected, Joe Biden comes back, undoes almost everything. There's still diplomatic relationships through the Abraham Accords, but President Biden's administration has overseen what has been a horrendous war. And I will say that at times they've been very supportive of Israel. They've recognized that what happened on October the 7th was savagery. But then at other times they've spent more effort putting pressure on Israel to have a ceasefire with terrorists and savages than they have to get the hostages home. And that's been very disruptive to getting this over with.
Mm. Mike, when do you see tour groups being able to go back into Israel? I know that's the lifeblood of their economy is tourism, and it floors me how they're able to survive with people not being able to come. When do you see that coming back to full force?
Well, it can happen soon enough. It's not only important to the Israeli economy for tourism, but quite frankly, it's important for people of the world to go and personally see Israel. It changes perspective dramatically, as you know, from having taken people there yourself. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that this calendar year in 2025, we will see American carriers, the airlines from America like United, Delta, and United start flying again to Israel. Because right now, El Al is the only airline that flies directly in from the U.S. And because of limited seats, the prices are almost double what they normally were. So this is why it has to happen soon. Senator Ted Cruz from Texas has introduced a bill that would urge the American carriers to resume flights into Israel. And quite frankly, it can't happen too soon.
Amen. Well, Mike, you're a good friend, and I appreciate you coming on today and giving us your time. And we will be praying for you and look forward to great things. And I appreciate you, my brother.
Thank you. Jeff, God bless you, brother. And come see me in Israel, I would say next year in Jerusalem, but I'm hoping it's this year.
That would be great. All right. Well, that was Mike Huckabee, and Mike is going to be, Lord willing, confirmed as the United States Ambassador to Israel, and that's going to be exciting. Couldn't be a better choice than Governor Mike Huckabee. He loves Israel, and Israel loves him, and so he's going to do a great job. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We will be right back after the break.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. So in our first segment, we were blessed to get to talk to Governor Mike Huckabee, who's getting ready to be Ambassador Mike Huckabee. I haven't heard anybody voice a concern about him being confirmed by the Senate for the position of United States Ambassador to Israel. Mike will do a tremendous job. He has been to Israel time and time and time again over a period of many, many years, and he is well-loved in Israel because they know that Mike loves them. And I have found that when people know you love them, it's hard for them to dislike you. And they may dislike your politics, they may dislike your faith, but it's hard for them to dislike you as a person. I still remember Jerry Falwell Sr. When he came to First Baptist Texarkana about a year and a half before he died. I asked him about these interviews that he would do, and he'd be pitted with against Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson or the liberal of the day, liberal du jour. And you know, one of the things about Jerry was he was always kind to them. Now, he could state his case, but he said, you know, it's not personal. And, you know, these people, they're just people. I don't agree with their philosophy of life. I don't agree with their politics. I don't agree with their stance on Jesus much of the time. But he said, they're still people. They're people in the image of God, and I can love them as people. You know, Jesus told us and commanded us to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And so we always have to remember that. When we talked about Islam just a week or so ago, one of the things we have to remember, we hate the religion of Islam because it's satanic and it's evil and the devil's fingerprints are all over it, but we don't hate those who practice Islam. We hate the Muslim religion, but we don't hate Muslims, because Muslims are those for whom Christ died. And so we want to be able to separate that. You know, we had an old expression, you hate the sin, but you love the sinner. Now, that's been attacked recently in the last probably 10, 15 years as, how dare you? You know, they want us now to love the sin, and they say, if you don't love the sin, you can't love the sinner. How can you say that you love me if you don't accept my homosexual lifestyle? How can you say you love me if you don't accept the fact that my pronouns are he, her, or ze, zim, or whatever crazy things they are? You know, you have to accept who I am, and they attach the sin to their personhood. And then they say, you accept me, sin and all. Well, no, we don't do that. We love the sinner, but we hate the sin. That's exactly what God does with us. God hates sin, but God sent his Son to come and die on the cross for sinners. And all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, all that to say, we need to be praying for Mike Huckabee as he goes to Israel, as he serves there, and as he loves those people, and he does two things that every Christian is called to do: shine and share. Shine for Christ, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven, and share, openly share. What do we share? We share the gospel. We share what great things the Lord has done for us and how he had mercy on us. Mark chapter 5, as Jesus told the Gadarene demoniac to do that. And we get to do that. What a blessing. Now, Sunday at First Baptist Texarkana, I preached a sermon titled a stake in the ground. That's what I called it, a stake in the ground. You put a stake in the ground. Now, we understand what that phrase means. That means that, you're nailing this down and you're saying, this is my decision and I'm not going to waffle on it anymore. I'm putting a stake in the ground. And kind of like that old song, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. And in Joshua 24, the last thing that Joshua ever says to the people that's recorded in Scripture, his farewell address to Israel, very, very famous, Joshua 24, he recounts for them what God has done in bringing them into the promised land. You know, the book of Joshua covers about 25 years. And so Joshua and Caleb are similar. They're, you know, about the same age when they spy out the land, and then, you know, there's 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And so Joshua is around 85 or so when he takes over in Joshua chapter 1, and he's 110 when he dies. So there's about a 25-year period in there where they're conquering the land. And so he tells them, hey, this is what the Lord has done for you. This is how the God has brought you, how he called your forefather Abram, whose name was changed to Abraham. He called him from Ur of the Chaldees. He's living as a pagan, and God calls him to a land, you know, come to a land, go to a land that I will show you. And he doesn't tell him where he's going. He just calls him, and Abraham responds, and Abraham goes, and Abraham takes a step of faith, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, because we are made right with God through faith, not through works, but works evidence our faith. And so he tells them all these things and how God brought them through and brought them out of Egypt and brought them into the promised land. And then he says this, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river Euphrates. That's, he's talking about Abraham and his family, his dad and his extended family. They served the false gods, pagan gods, when they were beyond the river Euphrates. And in Egypt, they served false gods in Egypt. And he says, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Have you not seen that plaque in people's homes or a sign out in the yard? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's putting a stake in the ground. And Joshua was, he was challenging the people and calling the people to commit fully. Now, when a person becomes a Christian, the way you become a Christian is to understand that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. You're convicted by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said when the Spirit comes, he'll convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, you and I are sinners. Of righteousness, no, not our righteousness, we don't have it, of the Lord's righteousness. So you see yourself as a sinner in light of God's holiness and light of God's righteousness. You see that you're in trouble. He convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment, because judgment is coming to those who are sinners before a holy God. As that famous sermon by Jonathan Edwards, sinners in the hands of an angry God. God is a God who is just, and God is a God who hates sin, and he loves sinners, but he hates sin. And so he resolved that dilemma in sending his son to die on the cross for sinners and to rise again from the dead, to pay a price he didn't owe, a price, a debt he didn't owe, a debt you couldn't pay and I couldn't pay. He paid it for us. Jesus paid it all to him. I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when we put our faith and trust in him and we say, Lord, I surrender. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm going to follow you. I surrender my life to you. I turn from sin and I turn to you. Now, we probably don't verbalize it quite that way, but we are doing that in our hearts. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Romans chapter 10. And then when we're saved, we're saying, Lord, I've decided to follow Jesus. And there's no turning back. There's no turning back. I'm putting a stake in the ground. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, we do that once to be saved, but we do that every single day to just re-up. It's exactly what the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And every day we say, Lord, here I am. I'm just re-upping. I've been saved by grace through faith. I want to walk with you by grace through faith. Colossians 2:6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. I receive him by grace through faith. I walk in him by grace through faith. It's grace and faith every step of the way. And so we nail a stake in the ground to say, I've decided to follow Jesus. And then we don't ever turn from that. Though none go with me, still I will follow. The world behind me, the cross before me, I'm not going back to my old way of life. If any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he's a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, one of the key things when Joshua talked to the people, one of the things that he tells them to do is to put away the gods which your fathers served. Put away the household idols. Put away the false gods. He tells them that. And, you know, the people said, hey, we're going to follow the Lord. Hey, choose you this day and you serve. They said, well, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, these false gods. The Lord is the one who brought us out of Egypt. He's the one that did these great signs in our midst. He's the one who preserved us through all the way in which we went among all the peoples through whose midst we passed. And Joshua said, well, careful, don't make such a emotional response, because the Lord is a holy God. You're not going to be able to serve him without his help. He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression or your sins. Now, he didn't say that God wasn't forgiving, but he said, listen, you need to, he's raising the bar on them. You need to know what you're committing to. And God is holy, holy, holy. And God is a jealous God. Now, people get confused. What does that mean? God is not jealous of you, like you have something God wants. He's jealous for you. He has what's best for you. So he's jealous for you because he wants what's best for you. And he is a jealous God. It breaks his heart every time he sees us going after false gods. And so Joshua is telling the people, put away the foreign gods which are in your midst. He tells them that twice in Joshua 24. That's a problem they had. That's a problem you and I have. It's easy to have other things start to become and take first place in our lives. That's why the first commandment says, I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me, no other gods alongside of me, no other gods rivaling for first place in your heart. And that's the Christian life in a nutshell. We have to just surrender every day. Lord, I've given my life to you, and I'm just re-upping, not to get saved again, but just tell you I belong to you. I've been bought with a price, and I want to glorify you in my body. And I want to follow you no matter how hard it gets. Because listen, it can get hard. We talked yesterday about the dear people in California who, from no fault of their own, they don't control the government, people that have lost their homes. They don't make decisions on the reservoirs being full and the fire hydrants having enough water and enough pressure. They're not the ones deciding that. And so, and many of them didn't vote for Gavin Newsom or Mayor Bass, but they're stuck and they lost their homes and they had all this difficulty and tragedy come into their lives. And it's easy when that happens, you just look up to the Lord and you say, Lord, I don't understand. Why did you allow this to happen in my life? And we don't know the answer to it. God's ways are not our ways, but we know that we can trust him. I still remember Darlene Dibler-Rose when she, the missionary to Indonesia, when she lost her husband and was told, your missionary husband is gone. And she said, I thought my Lord had left me when I heard that news. And she said, Lord, did you really have to take Russell from me? And he said, the Lord spoke to her heart so sweetly and said, Darlene, you can trust me. And God didn't explain himself to her. He just said, I'm here. You can trust me. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And so when life gets hard, what do? We don't get bitter at God. We press in to the Lord. We say with Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And I'm going to walk with God regardless of the circumstances, regardless of how hard it may get. I'm reminded, now I'm going off memory here, but the motto, I heard this years ago, the motto of the French Foreign Legion, if I stumble, push me on. If I falter, pick me up. If I retreat, shoot me. I can't retreat as a Christian. I've decided to follow Jesus. There is no turning back. Choose you this yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Have you made that choice? So important in the day and age in which we live. So important to nail that down so you're not living in doubt. You need to know for certain that I've given my heart to Jesus. I'm following him regardless of how hard it may get. I'm not quitting. I'm not turning back. I'm trusting him all the way to glory. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls. I like to do that in the last segment, hear from our listeners. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment about anything that we've been talking about Israel and about the inauguration coming up on the 20th, about the fires in California, about your own relationship with the Lord, I'd love to talk to you about that. So give me a call, 888-589-8840, and let's talk, and I'll try my best to answer your questions. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop. So we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Wanted to mention to you about the campaign that is starting up between American Family Radio and Preborn. As you know, abortion is the leading cause of death in the United States and in the world. Over 66 million babies' lives have been tragically taken since Roe v. Wade. And sadly, with the abortion pill accounting for over 60% of all abortions, babies' lives are even more at risk in this day and age. So Preborn exists as a ministry as a direct competition to the abortion industry. It's the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the United States, And by letting a woman see her baby on ultrasound and hearing the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life is doubled. And so Preborn has been at this ministry since 2007, partnering with pregnancy clinics in the highest abortion cities and regions across the nation, providing life-saving ultrasounds. So now you and I can get involved, and here is what we would like to see happen. People supporting this effort between American Family Radio and Preborn. And listen, your gift of $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, giving the mom the opportunity to choose life for her baby. $140 provides five free ultrasound sessions, reaching five women with the message of life. Now, perhaps you could sponsor five ultrasounds. And the goal for this campaign is to save 4,500 babies. So please consider a gift of any size. It all makes a difference. And how do you give? You can call 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can donate online at afr.net. Now we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, to take your calls and hear your comments and answer any questions that you may have. And so we would love to hear from you. And we have George on the line from Texas. George, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, hallelujah. Pastor Jeff, you're amazing. And I'm just so grateful that I got through to say praise the Lord for you. And I just pray a hedge of protection around you always. And I know you come up against evil. And I pray this in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
How are you today?
Doing well. Feeling better. I've been fighting a cold, but I'm feeling a lot better. So I appreciate it, George.
I'm going to stand in agreement with you that that's not going to get you down, okay?
Good. Thank you. What's on your mind today?
Joshua 25:15, I believe, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom you shall serve, whether the gods that your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. I don't know about the other side of the river.
The other side of the river, beyond the river. Yeah.
Yeah, beyond the river. The other side of the flood seems to be like the other side of, you know, Noah's flood.
Right. That's not what he's talking about. So in the beginning of Joshua 24, he talks about how from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. So that's the context. He's setting it up. The Lord appeared to Abraham beyond the river. So the river he's talking about is the river Euphrates. And so Abraham lived there in a place called Ur of the Chaldeans. And that's where the Lord appeared to him, where the word of the Lord came to him, Abraham, leave here and go to a land that I'll show you and I'll make you a great nation. And so when he's saying, hey, you know, you decide, do you want to serve the Lord God, or do you want to serve the false gods that Abraham's family served, or do you want to serve the false gods that are in the land of Canaan? But you need to choose for yourselves. Nobody can choose for you. You have to choose for yourself. And obviously, it's a slam dunk choice. I mean, you don't choose false gods. You choose the real God. Those false gods don't exist. But sadly, for so many of us, we don't worship stumps and idols as they were tempted to do. But we worship money. We worship fame. We worship sex. We worship pleasure. We worship sports. We worship all sorts of things, position and possession and power, and those are all false gods. And so we have to search our hearts on a regular basis to make sure that the Lord is our God and we're really serving Him.
So when I failed, I am a firm believer in the saving grace and the blood, shed blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, but I fail every day. So where am I at in that? I mean, I don't want to serve false gods, of course.
Right.
So where am I at when I'm failing? Yeah.
So 1 John chapter 1, tells us about that. And so, you know, here's a good statement, George, that I learned in a sermon years ago. God is much more concerned with the direction of your life than he is with the perfection of your life. Because you're not perfect, I'm not perfect, we're not perfect. But when you nail it down and say, I'm going to serve the Lord, I'm going to follow after him, then what you do in the Christian life is you continue to bring yourself before the Lord, bring yourself before the mirror of his word, and let it convict you. And when he convicts you about, you know, hey, you were prideful here, you were selfish here, you lied here, or whatever it might be, you confess that to him. So 1 John chapter 1 says, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So when we walk with the Lord, we have to walk in the light. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. That's when a Christian knows that there's sin in his life or her life, but they're covering it over, they're hiding it, and they're pretending and presenting themselves as they're walking with Jesus, but they have this unconfessed sin. You know, if you're living with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, you can't be walking in the light with Jesus. You got to deal with that. So it says if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, us with God, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So a walk with Jesus is to bring everything into the light. And when we sin, we confess it to him. We don't hold on to it. I acknowledge my sin to thee, as David said, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. And God does forgive us, and he cleanses us as we confess it to him. And so that is what living the Christian life is, because we do fall and fail, and we ask the Lord to help us grow, and we are constantly bringing our sins before him so that there's nothing unconfessed in our heart. Does that make sense?
Oh, praise God. Praise God for you. Yes, praise the Lord.
All right, my brother. I appreciate that. I appreciate your call, and that was a good question. So we have Earl on the line from Alabama. Earl, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. I enjoyed your conversation with Governor Huckabee.
Oh, thank you.
It reminded me, when I was a younger man, I used to live in Little Rock, and I got to see the transformation of the state of Arkansas under the leadership of Governor Huckabee. When he took office, they literally boarded up the door to the governor's office.
I remember that.
His first day. And you could see the spiritual battles that he was encountering on a daily basis there, especially after they cleaned up the voter rolls and found hundreds of people that had been voting for years after they passed away. but he literally handled everything with such class and dignity. And it looks like Arkansas is blessed now with his daughter, Sarah, as the governor. So he's got an incredible legacy, and you can see the political transformation because of his leadership, where before then, Arkansas was primarily a Democratic state.
Right.
And it now has made the transformation to a Republican state that is proudly pro-life, and it's become a beacon to some of the better run states under governor leadership of Republicans.
Yeah, you're
so,
right.
So I want to thank you for taking the time to interview him, and Godspeed on his mission now to be the ambassador to Israel. I know he'll do a great job. But and I also want to say, Pastor Jeff, I'm a fairly new listener to your program. I literally lost my job because I'm an emergency dispatch. I say, God bless you, to a patient. And the patient thanked me for those kind words. The hospital didn't complain. The nurse didn't complain. Nobody complained. But a week later, I got that uncomfortable conversation with my boss, and she wanted me to sign something that said that I would never say that again to a patient. And most people don't realize that there is persecution in the workplace against Christians. There is a bias. So I don't like what happened to me, my friend, but because I'm not working, I found both of your programs, From His Heart and Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio, and you've been an inspiration, especially that sermon you gave last week on being a courageous Christian. So God bless you, my friend. You're making a difference out there, and I really needed to hear those words of encouragement. Okay.
Oh, thank you, brother. I appreciate that, Earl. It means a lot to me, and we'll pray that the Lord opens a door for you and provides a great job where you can shine and share and make a difference. So I appreciate your boldness. Well, we have Linda on the line from Texas. Linda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, thank you, sir, and amen. I mean, I've just been listening to your program for a long time, and I've got other people tuned into it. But anyway, before you, I always listen to Jenna Ellis, and I was telling the one that interviewed me, there is a very important election going on today in Texas, and it's the Speaker of the House. And it's going to start at noontime. And the gentleman, David Cook, is running. He's a solid Christian. And boy, is he needed in our House of Representatives. And so I just wanted to call to alert people to that, to be praying. And at noontime, it will, you know, the decision will be decided on.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's good, Linda. I have been getting texts. I don't know where people get my number, but I get all these texts from these political folks. And man, somebody's been out in full force against David Cook. I have a friend of mine at the church named David Cook. And so I always send him those and say, look, you're a terrible person. Look what you've done. Different David Cook. But you got to wonder when people start smearing folks on a regular basis, as they've done with many, you know, Donald Trump, top of the list, worst guy in the world, threat to democracy, he's Hitler, he's a Nazi, all the terrible things they said about him. None of those things were true. So we need to pray the Lord's will be done there. And I appreciate you bringing that to our attention, Linda. So thanks for listening to the program. Thanks for calling in today. Well, we have Rick on the line from West Virginia. Rick, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff, and I certainly appreciate you taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I really appreciate your ministry and what you do. You're such a blessing. Your boldness and your love for the Lord, just keep it going, my brother.
Thank you, brother.
My purpose for the call, I've noticed a few times you say you're battling a cold. 2 years ago, my doctor told me I would battle it every winter. It seemed like it would be one cold, sometimes two colds. And they said, start taking a B-complex vitamin every day. Take one a day all through year-round. And said it will help you not to get a cold. And I was sort of skeptical, and then I started doing it. And for the last 2 years, praise the Lord, I haven't had a cold for 2 years now.
Oh, wow.
And just any type of, I'm not promoting any type of brand or anything like that, just a B complex vitamin daily. And brother, it's helped me, and I just wanted to share that with you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, Rick. I take a fistful of natural stuff, and but I can definitely add that to the list, B complex vitamins. So I appreciate your recommendation there. Well, we're about out of time, but I want to thank you for listening to Real Truth for Today, and thank our callers for encouraging my heart. And I appreciate everybody who listens, and I do love to hear from you. And so we always try and keep that last segment for calls. And so if you're listening one day and you have a question, a comment, we would love to hear from you. It's always a joy. And I do just want to thank Mike Huckabee again for being my guest. We're trying to get Mike to come to First Baptist Texarkana before he moves away to Jerusalem, because he's going to live there as the ambassador to Israel. And so remember to pray for Mike that God would give him wisdom, that God would protect him and use him in great ways. You know, we were supposed to, at First Baptist Texarkana and From His Heart Ministries, we were taking a big group, almost 100, to Israel. And about 10 days before we were to leave, the attack came on October 7th, 2023. So we need to look to reschedule that. I know Tim Wildman is going in March, taking a big group in March. And so We pray for him and for his group and for the Lord's protection as they go. So always, as always, when we close out the program, shine and share. Shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.